Now for agribusiness news, markets, and weather from Studio C, this is Agriculture Today.
I am concerned. I made this point to the administration.
The chairman of the Senate Finance Committee from Oregon is Ron Wyden.
A number of people in the administration, I think that the administration needs to do more to work with the Congress and make sure the American people aren't kept in the dark. To this end, I want to make sure that the USTR and other parts of the Biden administration are clear and straightforward with Congress and the public. When you take meetings with foreign officials, it isn't enough to say, well, there was a range of bilateral concerns raised. That doesn't tell my constituents a whole lot about trade. We need to be told what trade barriers the USTR and other parts of the administration are trying to break down, how this is going to help American workers and businesses.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I'm going to start by touching on some of the ways in which the Congress and the Biden administration can work together to build a trade agenda that will supercharge America's diverse economic base and create good-paying and innovative jobs across Oregon and the nation.
Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee is Ron Wyden from Oregon. A hearing recently on the president's trade policy agenda.
And I'll start with trade enforcement, because without trade enforcement, our trade laws aren't worth the paper they're written on. India's wheat subsidies, for example, distort prices and make it harder for Oregon farmers to compete in the Asian market. Mexico's illegal fishing practices are hurting the environment, and its harmful energy regulations are undermining our clean energy suppliers. China has a rap sheet of unfair subsidies and practices so long that if I were to go through it, we would be here until dinner time. So I'm going to spare everyone that filibuster. Every single one of these unfair practices by foreign countries is directly hurting workers and companies in America, including in my home state. There's a lot more USTR can be doing, in my view, with the tools it has, and we want to work together to raise issues directly with trading partners, starting dispute settlement, or opening 301 investigations into unfair trade practices. In my view, that's the only way to hold trade sheets accountable and level the playing field for American workers and businesses. Second issue, trade barriers. Our economy thrives when our workers can make stuff in America and grow stuff in America and add value to it in America and then ship it all over the world. But you just can't do it with all these barriers. In my home state, one out of four jobs relies on exports. We have world-renowned exports from wheat to potatoes to wine to high-tech electronics, everything in between. But the success of Oregon's farmers and workers depends on the administration's knocking down barriers to help them compete in the global market and get their products on shelves. That's why, in addition to enforcing the rules on the books to hold trade cheats accountable, I want, working closely with the administration and USTR, to play offense. It's not enough to sell domestically. The United States has to expand opportunities in the global market for American exporters across all our industries. The negotiations with Taiwan, Kenya, Indo-Pacific countries could net big wins for our exporters in agriculture and manufacturing. But we're going to have to work with the administration to push even harder to crack down on tactics like unfair labeling, duplicative testing requirements, and ag regulations that aren't supported by science and are designed to put American workers, farmers, and ranchers at a disadvantage. Before I wrap up, I also want to note, particularly in my state, how important it is that we have a standard for high-tech, innovative industries. The United States needs to be a leader in setting the rules of the road for digital trade so our creators and innovators get a fair shake in foreign markets. And we're not going to take a backseat to anybody in the process when it comes to privacy, security, and antitrust enforcement. While lawmakers look to domestic tech regulation, we must also push for digital trade rules that are going to protect a free and open Internet, help small businesses, and push back on the China model of digital surveillance and censorship. I'm very pleased to see that the White House is taking charge of this issue, working closely with all in the administration and vowing to work with the Congress on this issue. There are diverse stakeholders and agencies. I think the White House position of a whole-of-government approach is a wise one. I look forward to working on a digital trade position that reflects the need of American workers, businesses, and consumers. The American people finally deserve to know what the government's priorities are with regard to trade policy.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
The other thing is we got to start watching weather beyond the farm.
Dr. Dave Cole is Professor Emeritus at Virginia Tech.
It's not only the Mississippi, it's the Yangtze, it's the Po River in Italy. Alicia, my associate, just came back. She says she showed me the pictures as they were going over. Folks, it's now weather beyond the fields is going to be critical. Think about that old Mississippi. She's a six-lane highway down to two now. And she's constipated. Okay? And you know what Eric's weather guy said the other day? You don't want too much rain too fast. Because that means, what, the Midwest just gets what? Plowed with moisture. And you know what the other thing is? Yeah, New Orleans. New Orleans. You don't call it New Orleans. You call it New Orleans. Think about it. You got the brackish salt water coming on up, impacting fresh water. But you know what the other thing is? What's headed north? Fertilizer. And all those input components, at what cost? It's not only the price side, but it's the input cost side. And this is river transportation beyond your field. But in the Yangtze, same thing is happening there.
Cole says we're pretty good at predicting recessions, but one thing's for sure.
And again, I got to tell you, every recession since 1969, except one around the turn of the century, I'm sounding like an old timer here, was caused by energy. And we fell right into Putin's trap, in OPEC's trap, and we didn't need to go there, folks. I'm going to be very blunt about it. Okay? And you know, you remember when 9/11 occurred? I spoke at a class. I was on a program with Dick Vitale the other day. It was first talk back from cancer. And we were with students at Tennessee Tech. And I mentioned 9/11. And I asked them how many were born after 9/11. It was 97-98% of them. You know, when those two towers went down in New York City, I lost two students in Cantor Fitzgerald. One was All-American lacrosse player up at Cornell. And when that Pennsylvania, Mike Farstein, when the plane went down near Somerset, when that Pentagon was hit, you know what we said? We're going to become energy independent in a matter of 25 years, folks. We did it in 10 years. We had a record economic expansion just before the pandemic of 128 consecutive months. Why? Because we were secure in energy. And North American secure because we were number one in energy. Canada was number four and Mexico was number eight. That was all unraveled. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. And now it's real interesting.
Speaking of interesting, he says autonomous vehicles are kind of like the economy and business plans.
I was in my first driverless car the other day. Oh, yeah, state of Washington, going from Spokane up to Coeur d'Alene. I wasn't driving. And the guy, you know, had his hands out the wheel. I mean, going 70 miles an hour and going, whoop. I go to him. I go, what happens if a deer or a moose runs the road? I don't know. What happens in a snowstorm? Well, I don't know. Folks, this is the way we've been managing our finances and farming the past. We've been in the driverless what? Financial car. And we start asking these type of questions. But here is the big thing. You've got the Fed pushing down on the brakes. You've got fiscal policy worldwide, whether it was England, whether it's China, whether it's here in the United States, pushing down on the gas. And so what do you got? You've got inconsistencies. And guess what? A lot of people are in the driverless car. They don't know what they don't know. And this is why I totally agree. It could get interesting.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
We're running the largest trade deficit this year, ever.
South Dakota Senator John Thune talking to U.S. Trade Representative Katherine Tai in a Senate Finance Committee hearing.
$17 billion this year. They're saying could be $30 billion this coming year. And net farm income was down $30 billion last year, will be down, they say, $39 billion this year. So thanks to inflation, input costs are going up, commodity prices are going down. One of the things that affects commodity prices is demand. And the way you create demand is to open markets. And I can't tell that the administration is doing anything on that. Now, you say we've got a different approach to trade. And I understand that approach is grounded in things other than market access. But market access is what our farmers and ranchers are looking for to open up the markets so they can sell their products and get the trade deficit back to trade surplus and get this net farm income back in the positive column. It defies explanation. And you talk about working with our allies. We have some low-hanging fruit. UK, EU. I'm on a bill that would create a free trade agreement with United Kingdom. They're one of our longest and closest allies. And there isn't a single free trade agreement that this administration has entered into. So I want to know what specific actions the Biden administration plans to take to increase U.S. agricultural exports in 2024.
Senator Thune, there is so much that we have already done, as I noted earlier, $21 billion in market access over the last 3 years. That's, for example, the safeguard agreement that we renewed with Japan that has allowed for high-quality U.S. beef from your state to increase access to a growing Japanese market. That includes the 12 tariff categories with India, a growing market, growing opportunity for U.S. exporters. So I think we have to acknowledge that market access can come more quickly, more effectively, more in more agile ways if we are looking for those opportunities to score what we like to call singles and doubles, to rack up the score that way, as opposed to tying up opportunities over the course of many, many years in FTA negotiations that sometimes don't ever come into being.
How about the easy FTAs? How about the UK?
I think there are no easy FTAs. I don't know if you followed, but the UK and Canada have been negotiating an FTA that they stopped negotiating because the UK won't talk ag market access. And in fact, in the last years of the Trump administration, in those negotiations, the UK had refused to put ag market access on the table. Ag market access is also something that has traditionally really frustrated our efforts at large FTA-like exercises with the European Union. So we are absolutely committed. And Senator Thune, I want to let you know, I think our farmers are the savviest business people that I talk to and work with in trade. They know their businesses. They know trade. With respect to the deficit, we're concerned about the deficit, absolutely. And I think your concern is well placed. I just wish that our ag champions were as concerned about the industrial trade deficit as they are with ag trade, because it can absolutely indicate need for concern. Secretary Vilsack and I know, along with our farmers, that we need to be able to diversify our export opportunities because we are at a lot of risk. We are working very, very hard to do that. But in addition to a strong U.S. dollar, one of the other challenges we have is a really, really strong economy, a strong consumer economy here in the United States that is actually fueling our economic recovery.
It's Agriculture Today.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
They need to look at their other organizations and then look really closely at what NCBA does.
Mark Isley is a cow-calf producer from Cheyenne, Wyoming, and current president, National Cattlemen's Beef Association.
We're the front lines, defenders, and interactors of policy within Washington, also in our state houses, where we're the ones that are protecting property rights, water rights, trade, transportation, endangered species. We're the ones that are actually doing the job, and we have people dedicated to produce those results to inform the decision makers and make sure that policies are good and beneficial for us and not harmful. That's the first measuring stick. And then you also have the ability to look at finances. What are the finances of those other groups that oppose us? What are the finances of the groups that don't like our policies? NCBA is made up by real producers, and we really believe in the future of the industry, and we respect our colleagues and their ability to operate in whatever environment there is and give them the support to do that.
NCBA recently wrapping up their legislative fly-in.
It's a great event. It's where producers will take time out of their busy schedules and lifestyles to come to D.C., walk the halls, meet their congressional folks, meet their congressional staff, interact with the agencies, and tell real stories that have impact on what the decision makers are doing. Good or bad, they'll get a direct, truthful story from us. And we back it up with science and knowledge. It's a very powerful tool, and it's good. I think the legislators like seeing the hats in the halls and the boots on the ground.
And what are priorities that cattlemen are taking to Capitol Hill?
We've got to defend the beef checkoff. That informs our consumers, our producers, dietitians, medical personnel about the virtues and the value of beef. I think the other is the Farm Bill. That's conservation programs, indemnity, price protection, all those things that are multifaceted, working with agencies and making sure we can do our job well. And then I think, and this is of real importance to me, is the tax situation. The tax code, how it's written, and in particular, the estate tax, the death tax. Now, how many times does a family have to pay for a farm or a ranch over and over before it actually ever becomes theirs? That's a huge disincentive for young producers that want to come into the business and would love to take over and operate a family or multi-generational operation.
Still, there are many producers who have no federal lands anywhere near them. Why is this important?
The public lands are the first testing ground for activists. They try things to stop us, slow us down, or prevent us from using them, when actually that is the livestock is one of the best management tools. Multi-use are still some of the best management tools for public lands. If they can restrict or reduce our ability to use those, they eliminate our private grounds, which are also wildlife havens, migration corridors. And they're also the first thing that defends the clean water and the clean air through those riparian areas. If we lose that on the public lands ranches, it's just a short step before they're on your back door somewhere else trying to take your private property rights away and control or restrict your ability to use them.
It's Agriculture Today.
This is Agriculture Today.
I read the president's trade agenda carefully.
Idaho Senator Mike Crapo is ranking member of the Senate Finance Committee, looking at the president's trade policy agenda.
If we measured wisdom by word count alone, President Biden's trade policy agenda would be very wise. If we measured it in terms of creating meaningful opportunity for Americans, it is profoundly misguided, particularly in terms of enforcement approach and negotiating ambitions. This administration's enforcement record is the weakest of any administration in 25 years. Although the administration highlights regularly using the USMCA Rapid Response Labor Mechanism to help Mexican workers, that mechanism cannot supplant bringing cases to increase market openings for American workers. Such cases are sorely lacking. The USTR has yet to self-initiate a single enforcement action against China, period. Whether at the WTO or under Section 301 or under the Phase 1 deal. Nothing. Today's announcement accepting a Section 301 shipbuilding petition, which could take a full year to complete, does not make up for over 3 years of inaction on China. When it comes to discriminatory treatment, our trading partners now expect USTR to simply note that it is considering all options, as it did with Canada's decision to move forward with its discriminatory digital trade or services taxes, and further expect that USTR's consideration of all options is likely to be indefinite. For example, USTR has not advanced our case against Mexico's discriminatory energy policies for nearly 2 years now. Administration plans for negotiations fare no better than they do for enforcement. For the fourth year in a row, the administration's trade agenda provides no plan for real negotiations to improve market access. Instead, the administration lauds the Inflation Reduction Act, asserting that our workers need to be shielded, subsidized, and micromanaged through industrial policy, even if it entails massively expanding our national debt. That is not only misguided, but as former Joint Chiefs of Staff Chairman Michael Mullen noted, our debt is, in fact, one of the top national security threats to the United States. What we need is market access. I recently traveled to Asia, the United Kingdom, and to other partners. Our partners want to make real deals with high standards. They want to trade with us rather than China, and they want to do it now. We should want that too, because each day we wait is another day that Americans fall back further behind our competitors, including China. Make no mistake, tariffs matter, particularly for small businesses like our farmers. Australia and New Zealand each negotiated free trade agreements with Thailand And since then, demand for premium U.S. beef fell by 30% because our cattlemen face a 50% tariff while those two partners face none. Whether it be Idaho potatoes and dairy or Iowa soybeans and pork or South Dakota wheat or Texas cotton and beef or Washington State apples, our farmers are the best in the world. That is precisely why a large number of farm groups wrote to you, Ambassador Tai, on Monday asking for a real trade agenda and advancing dispute settlement reform so that we can open markets for them. United States manufacturing, innovation, creative and tech industries are second to none. If the administration will not negotiate tariffs, it should at least help workers in these industries by negotiating critical rules on technical barriers to trade, intellectual property, and key digital provisions such as non-discrimination and free data flows. Thus far, USTR has failed to do so in any of the so-called framework negotiations.
It's Agriculture Today.
You're listening to Agriculture Today.
What's the rule of seven?
Dr. Dave Cole is Professor Emeritus at Virginia Tech.
Remember, when you have more than seven different sources of credit on your financial statements, it's usually one of the 72 signs of a business headed south. And by the way, what they report is not what you actually will find. If they report seven, they probably got 12. Keep that in the back of your mind.
So Cole regularly talks to ag bankers and describes who risky clients are.
Here's my risky customer. Below average production, marketing, and financial management. Don't know their cost of production. They don't know their break-evens. And can I just share with you, if you go on Shark Tank with Mark Cuban, that bald-headed dude, you know, Mr. Beautiful or whatever his name is, what's the first question they're going to ask you? What is your break-even, your cost? If it's good enough for Shark Tank, you ought to put that big quote and say, Dave Cole said that. If it's good enough for Shark Tank, it's good enough for agriculture. Right? The other thing is, the lender develops the cash flow and the balance sheet. This is 2022. This is not last century. And we do these one-year drive-by financials. And by the way, can I just share with you why we've got liquidity on the balance sheet? They couldn't buy the machinery because they couldn't get it. Now they're going to be able to get it. Hello, as Dick Vitale would say. And you know what the other thing is? The collateral lender and the unearned net worth, it's the paper wealth. And the whole thing is, what about all the families that are living out of the business? Grandma and grandpa, mom and dad, junior and juniorette, and then the kid that comes home and lives in the basement with a significant other, and they bring everybody back in. That never happens. Folks, one of the things that I can tell you is your operating lines of credit are tied right to family living expense. And remember, they're going to live out of your operating lines of credit. And that is why you've got to watch this. And so that family living expense is going up, but it's how many families are living out of the business.
Though we don't like to see downturns in the ag economy, Cole does say,
and one of the things that I would just tell you, we've got the lender, the institutional memory, the wisdom. I see it all across the country. Our lenders, probably 70-80%, have not been through these downturns. That's okay. And can I just give some advice to the new lenders out here on the block? You'll build your best portfolio during the downtime. Because everybody will go to interest rates in the, you know, good times. So that's a positive here. But this new next set of young farmers and ranchers, can I tell you what? I'm very positive. I do a lot of educational programs, and many of them get it. Okay? In that first cycle, Jackson, that you talked about, 2012, they didn't get it during that cycle. As Doug, you throw the, you know, seed in the ground, and you get $7 corn. You know, we're really good. They became very complacent. This group realizes that, you know, there's some storm clouds around the horizon. And so I see that element out there.
Dr. Dave Cole, Professor Emeritus at Virginia Tech. It's Agriculture Today.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
If negotiators are meeting with the Japanese, tell us if you're pushing to get Oregon potatoes on shelves in Japan.
Oregon Senator Ron Wyden, Chairman of the Senate Finance Committee.
When officials engage with Indonesia, tell us if you're pushing against unfair licensing requirements that hurt Oregon dairy farmers. If there are negotiations with Kenya, tell us how you'll push them to improve their environmental and labor laws or bring down barriers to biotech products. Fishermen in Newport and ranchers in Prineville, they're asking me, tell me exactly how the administration and this trade office is helping their businesses thrive in the global market. So we need more light shed on trade policy in America, and we are going to pursue that diligently. Enforcing laws on the books and making our government's trade policies clear is a good place to start, finally, in leveling the playing field.